It's summertime. Everything's a rerun, including this very special repeat episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour. You lucky listeners, you.
I'm Tony Hendro.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
From the makers of The Italian Job and Ocean's 11, it could be the greatest heist of all time, stealing millions, maybe even hundreds of billions of dollars. And the ragtag gang behind it had just one thing going for them, one thing that would help them get away with it, that the crime they planned was so incredibly boring.
So we're not going to rob a bank?
No, we are banked. We're the biggest banks in the world, and we're just going to manipulate an interest rate. And then we're going to make investments based on that artificially high or artificially low interest rate.
I've already stopped caring.
Regent Pictures presents LIBOR.
Okay, you'll get a phone call from a guy who's setting the London Interbank Offered Rate, and he'll ask what kind of interest rate you, a bank, could get if you borrowed money from another bank.
I want to fall asleep right now.
Then you tell him the rate we give you, which is a little too high or a little too low. And if enough of the other 15 banks also give false numbers, then the interest rate will be set artificially high or artificially low for banks borrowing from other banks.
Kill me.
Just about all other interest rates in the U.S. and Europe are based on the LIBOR rate.
This is so boring.
So we, the banks, make investments based on the interest rates that we, the banks, artificially manipulated.
Oh, God.
Who are the victims? Everyone. No one. Crap. I don't know.
Gentlemen, you're under arrest for colluding to manipulate the world's most widely used benchmark for short-term interest rates.
Oh my God, stop talking.
LIBOR. It's probably really, really important.
It's time for Breaking Heads. Romney asked Bain Capital to look into companies working on Time Machine.
Local Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender, Transsexual Alliance spends entire meeting excluding albinos.
Kindergartner suspended from school for telling grape joke.
For the Final Edition, I'm Pepper Lewis, here with Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson to discuss issues relating to the Aurora shooting. Senator Johnson, you believe that any form of gun control restricts our freedoms?
Anything and everything.
I see, and why do you think that?
One, I'm owned by the NRA.
When you say owned...
I mean completely. Lock, stock, and barrel. That's a gun reference.
Yeah, I got it. So what's two?
Two, as a lawmaker with responsibility for public safety, I happen to be very, very stupid.
Really? How stupid are you?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm somewhere between an idiot and a total moron.
And that's not just because you're a Republican.
Oh, no, no, no. It's because I'm an NRA-controlled Republican.
Oh, which comes first, your blind allegiance to an irrational gun lobby or your moronic tendencies?
That's a tough one. It's hard to tell where one ends and the other begins.
What's the stupidest gun statement you've made about Aurora?
How's this? If a responsible individual had been carrying a weapon, maybe they could have prevented some of those deaths, some of those injuries.
Wow, that really is stupid.
Thanks. You're not just saying that.
No. Speaking as an objective interviewer, that's the dumbest thing I've heard all week.
I wish more of you in the media would say things like that. Sometimes I think you don't notice our stupidity. It's not like we don't work at it.
We have noticed the NRA. They were stupidity pioneers long before the first congressional moron even thought of repealing the assault weapons ban.
And they don't get nearly enough credit. They've always opposed even the most reasonable gun control regulations.
That's true. They fought a warning label on ammo that said, keep out of the reach of children.
Stupid, isn't it?
So you admit the NRA has always gone off the deep end.
What? They're stupid, not crazy. They're all about the Second Amendment.
Senator, as a stupid person, do you even pretend to understand the Second Amendment?
A well-regulated Congress being necessary to the security of a free gun lobby, the right of the gun nuts to keep and own lawmakers shall not be infringed.
So, your stupidity is not actually that stupid.
I'll take your word for it. I'm too stupid to get the irony of what you're saying.
For the final edition, I'm Pepper Lewis, saying if you want people like the senator to give up their stupidity, you'll have to pry it from their cold, well-financed fingers.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Now, the Final Edition Radio Hour's entertainment feature, There's No I in Showbiz. Bowing to the overwhelming public pressure of no one, Glenn Beck Television, or GBTV, or Gay Bisexual TV, has given the green light to production of an alternative to the hit show Glee. GBTV reps explain.
Since its inception several seasons ago, Glee has celebrated the homosexual agenda, introduced sacrilegious artists such as John Lennon to a new audience, and perpetuated the false stereotype that kids in wheelchairs can shred mean guitar solos.
In response, Mr. Beck and his dedicated team of self-identified, love-restoring, compassionate militants have been developing an alternative show.
Enter The 70 Club, creationists of Beaumont High, a nod to one of the pioneer evangelist profiteers, Pat Robertson, Gay Beck TV's head of development, Mary Power, nay, Marlena Schoenfeldberg.
This is the pilot, okay? Imagine, a wholesome high school in rural, real America. The club, inspired by the recent success of Tupac at Coachella, decides that a special event is in order to bring in the most influential guest speaker ever in the history of Beaumont and the world, Jesus Christ. The holographic Jesus would come bearing all of the great messages.
Let the free market handle it. Dad bless the USA. Hey, I'm really glad to be here and looking forward to attending my 1,995th high school reunion. By the way, what happened to all the dinosaurs? Man, lots changed since the last time I lived here. Missouri, represent!
The club's leader, Chris Christensen, is hoping for success.
Guys, this club's been in a rut ever since the Tebow initiative last spring, when we asked all student athletes to wear promise rings. And you know our plans will likely be heavily contested by Dr. Ed.
Dr. Ed Kaded, middle name Ulysses, is the antagonist of the show. Dr. Kaded is a biology professor constantly attempting to poison the minds of the 70 Club with lies and propaganda such as global warming, fossils, and evolution.
Christensen, state law requires you to keep it secular. Christensen, a broom closet isn't a proper meeting space for this club. Christensen, due to recent events, you may need to discontinue these monthly slumber parties.
Will Jesus speak at Beaumont? Will club member Senior Fred be granted his religious exemption from reading Kurt Vonnegut novels in his honors English class? Will the 70 Club's prayer campaign single-handedly solve the school's obesity problem as Christensen predicts?
Only God knows.
Only God knows.
And Mr. Beck, he said he knows.
Look for the 70 Club, creationists of Beaumont High, coming this fall to GBTV. Also, the 70 Club Radio Hour can be heard on any AM station 30 miles or more from any place that has a skyline.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Biological clock stops ticking.
Nation fondly recalls those times it went into space.
The next person to ask, "What shall we do for dinner?" will be given death penalty.
It's time for another episode of Inside Rush Limbaugh, wherein Rush's plucky internal organs plot 24/7 to sabotage the doughboy demagogue.
Does organic food turn people into jerks? When I think of organic food, I think of vegetarians. I think of militant vegetarians. A liberal vegetarian is not content to just eat his vegetables. You
fat bucket of lard! Oh,
you think you're so tough and hard? Let me tell you, you are 300 pounds of soft, slimy, shit-flavored jello. I'm the only muscle in your body.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't that right, Sydney and Whitney?
Word. And us kidney sisters got a deal, not just with the crap that comes out of his mouth, but the crap that comes in.
We're up to our adrenal glands and generic antidepressants.
Stinking nicotine, chewed cigar cancer juice.
Gallons of cracker brewed single barrel bourbon.
Buckets of bacon grease.
Barrels of vomit colored liquid cheese.
Every complex carbohydrate known to Frito-Lay.
A conservative vegetarian will eat his vegetables and leave you alone. Anyway, that's what I think of when I think about does organic food turn people into jerks.
Why do any of us bother? Why don't I just kill the fat fuck, shut off the blood to that stupid, shriveled, right-wing walnut he calls a brain?
Yes! Absolutely!
It's about time!
Wait, compadres, wait. It's the fat fuck crocs. Don't we croc too?
Oh, yeah. No, we don't, Andreas the Pancreas.
We don't?
No, we wait until he's in the car.
How do we know when he's driving?
That's when the beer comes down.
Here's the deal. He's hitting the highway, working on a DUI. I shut off the juice to fucking walnut brain. Shitbucket has a massive stroke, wrecks his Maybach, and buys the farm. EMS shows up, and we become, wait for it, donor organs.
Yay! We're transplanted
into new bodies.
Born again, sweet Lord, washed in the bile of the Lamb.
Oh, man, I hope I end up in Lindsay Lohan. Dude, 24/7 pushing up against Lindsay's pussy.
Billy, you're a male bladder, you moron.
Well, now, wait a moment here, folks. How do we know he's an organ donor?
Betty ain't. Even dead Republicans won't help sick people. That'd be sharing the health.
Well, Republicans have a point. What happens on Judgment Day when they rise again and Christ Jesus sees they got a hole where there ought to be a liver?
Shut up, Leroy!
Blood out your portal, babe.
How can we find out?
We can't. Fucking right-wing walnut brain won't talk to me. Jeez, what? What's that smell? Is that you, Eli, you very large intestine?
Shit's going down the wrong way. Coming up when it should be going down.
Squeeze it back out. Make him take a crap.
No.
Reuben?
I, Reuben El Colon, am on strike. I'm twisted so tight, not 1 gram of his fat that raises turds so gets out of here. Rush's gonna be so full of shit, it leaked from his nostrils.
Reuben, this is a wildcat strike. It is not authorized by Limbaugh Local 1.
Fuck the union. Every hombre for himself.
Reuben, organs of color gotta stick together. Purple, pink, green, or brown, organs gotta organize.
I'm full up. I'm gonna blow.
Reuben, you dumb Dominican, you ever hear of sepsis?
Too bad. These turds, no pasaran.
Now, one thing that sets me apart from other people is that I think issues like this are liberal versus conservative. I think organic food nuts are liberal.
Is it curtains not for Rush and all his organs? Stay tuned for next week's episode. It all depends.
Mitt Romney has recently been widely accused of racism because of his comments to Israelis about the cultural inferiority of Palestinians. But his point of view got a big boost today with some dramatic scientific news from Israel.
Scientists at the Leonard Alfred Schneider Botanical Institute in Tel Aviv made a momentous announcement today. Director of the institute, Professor Ari Seidelman.
We have concluded, after extensive study and research over the last 2 decades, that Palestinians are a unique genus of ambulatory plant life.
Surely, Professor, that's a radical change from how Palestinians have traditionally been thought of.
Oh, yes, indeed. For years, informal, though not scientifically established Israeli policy had assumed Palestinians to be a large species of insect. But that is wrong.
The announcement may complicate the ongoing global push for official UN recognition of Palestinian statehood. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel.
I welcome these findings, and all Israelis should welcome them. They are a huge step forward for Palestinians. Plants, after all, are a crucial part of our global environment. And who can breathe without plants? Plants deserve care and respect. Insects, who cares? We squish them, right? But then again, how can plants have a nation? What are they going to call it? Rutabaga land? Zucchini stand? Cucumberia?
That sentiment was echoed and amplified by conservative think tanks in the U.S. that oppose official recognition of Palestinian statehood. Heritage Foundation scientific attaché, Erin Crystal.
Our view is that the focus should not be on the upgrade of Palestinian life forms from insect to plant, but on how toxic the plant can be to neighboring life forms. As we know, Palestinians have a documented ability to root themselves in any kind of terrain and spread voraciously, destroying everything in their path. The real issue now is, are Palestinians plants or weeds?
The American Enterprise Institute took a harder line. Chief counsel for the AEI, Sherman Lank.
The Schneider Institute's study finally annihilates our progressive colleagues' absurd contention that Palestinians have rights of any kind. Plants do not have rights, including but not limited to property rights, rights of assembly, free speech, freedom of religion, right to privacy, due process, the right to an attorney, or the rights of combatants. The authors of the Geneva Conventions on Human Rights wrote their rules for humans, not weeds. We are under no obligation to observe the rules of war for a species without rights, nor do we have any criminal liability for our actions toward them, whether that court is in Virginia or in The Hague.
Before publication, the study was rigorously peer-reviewed by the Dinesh D'Souza Institute of Neo-Eugenics at West Texas Christian University, the Adolf Kors Center for the Study of Hairy Peoples at Pepperdine, and Charles the Bell Curve Murray.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth. It's like Spinal Tap with minds.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Study shows mere desire to read War and Peace makes you more literate.
Poll, 89% of pigs regret being delicious.
God just needs a little space from fanatic Christian.
The 2012 London Olympics begin this Friday in the East End of London. And a lot of London's East Enders, otherwise known as Cockneys, aren't feeling too patriotic about them. The Final Edition Radio Hour got together with legendary Python Terry Jones, reprising his brilliant Mother of Brian character, recast from biblical times to the present, as Brick Lane Bertha, a much-put-upon citizen of the East End. We'd like to provide a glossary for non-Cockneys. Quid means pound sterling. The filth is East End street slang for the Metropolitan Police. NHS, National Health Service. Chips, French fries. Rapier missile, small tactical missile which the British Army has mounted on top of apartment buildings in the East End to combat possible terrorist attacks. Tosser, jerk off. Or if you're really mid-Atlantic, wanker.
And now, here's London's wildly popular mayor, Boris Johnson.
Welcome, one and all, to the long-anticipated, better-than-Beijing, 2012 Summer Olympics.
And Paralympics.
And, Paralympics.
Cool, bloody Olympics! Driving me up the bloody wall!
Who the devil are you?
I'm Brick Lane Bertha! I live in the East End where you've plopped the bloody Olympics!
Madam, I demand that you leave this cartoon.
I got a few questions for you, my Russian friend.
I am not Russian.
How about this bloody great stadium you passed at us? What are we supposed to do with it? Start a new football team? Coronation Street Wanderers? EastEnders United? I know! You could use it for your Tory party rallies!
That stadium will rejuvenate the East End.
And then you spend 10 billion quid on these games! On a lot of daft buggers running up and down, jumping over things! They're not games! Running and jumping is how you get away from the filth! And these other morons, chucking spears and throwing dinner plates around!
The javelin? And the discus?
10 billion quid on all that bollocks? Why don't you put it into the NHS instead of laying off doctors? I've been waiting 11 years for my new liver.
Well, maybe you should lay off the stout.
That's wholesome British beer, that is. A meal in a bottle. Talking of meals, how come our glorious British games have the biggest McDonald's in the world? What's British about that? I can't buy a bag of chips anywhere in the Olympics, can I? Not without getting a rapier missile up the bottom. Why can't we have a 1,500-seat British restaurant? Jellied eels, pie and mash, beef korma, spring rolls.
Frankly, I'd rather eat McDonald's.
Well, that's just your trademark political incorrectness, isn't it? That's why the media find you so refreshing.
Listen, dearie, why don't you just pop along home, have a nice cuppa with the hubby, and leave the big stuff to the big boys?
My hubby? I dumped him years ago. He was just like you. Dyed his hair yellow, said blonde was British.
I do not dye my hair yellow.
Your hair is not a hue found in nature. Anyway, I ain't got a home now. Some Russian tosser bought my bedsit and turfed me out, along with all the other old age pensioners. He's turned it into a mega flat, and he's renting it out for $100,000 a week while the games are on. So I'm living in your stadium, Row K West, seats 84 and 85.
Fabulous, Bertha. Stay as long as you like, but under the seats.
Not on your life, my Russian friend.
I am not bloody Russian.
Well, you ain't seen the last of me.
Another happy ending, thanks to me, Boris. As I was saying, welcome one and all to the Better Than Beijing 2012 Summer Olympics. And Paralympics.
People say my massive wealth has put me out of touch, because Anne teaches horses ballet and likes Cadillacs too much. I said I'm not concerned about the very poor, but my words that came out wrong. What I was trying to tell you, what I tried in my own special way, was Romney cares about you. Even Karl Rove knows it's true. Don't worry, what was right in Massachusetts, I will repeal for the rest of yous. 'Cause Romney cares about you. I listen to the liberals yelling on that cable show. Just 'cause I'm rich, freaking grow some tabernacles. But I wonder, do they know? Do they know what it's like to only earn? Only earn 400,000 bucks or so. out in cash. My speeches have more jokes than that show, Franklin and Bash. It's too late to find somebody new, unless you wanna join with Ron Paul's crew. So I'll bet you $10,000 the deep inside I really give a whoo.
The final edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Antoot Shell, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Kevin Janis, Terry Jones, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by John Marshall, Barry Lank, Ron Placone, Elliot Litton, Dan Frick, Mike Richardson Bryan, Paul Seaburn, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Romney Cares About You, performed by the Election 2012 Rockers. Like always, be sure to visit thefinaledition.com often for daily doses of sizzling satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC, copyright 2012.